This is Phil Farron.
And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. Tomorrow is Good Friday. I love me some Easter. And, obviously, that makes Sunday Easter. So happy Easter, everyone. And a blessed Good Friday. Good Friday, the amazing Good Friday. Yeah, okay. I can't talk about that much because I won't be able to talk. The amazing Good Friday. Anyways, I'm sure some will find what I do going to Walmart tomorrow for Good Friday to be frivolous. I had been asked several times, so you gonna do something for Easter? You know, because people are looking for me to dress up in some kind of costume for Easter. But, you know, I didn't know what to do for the longest time. I actually got an idea of what I could do for next year, but it's too long. I can't put together the costume in that amount of time because it will require some custom work. So, I mean, I kind of know what I'm doing for next year. But for tomorrow, I thought, you know, enough people have asked about this. I need to do something. And so I bought myself some bunny shoes, some bunny slippers, and just started digging through the closet. And my beloved had some bunny ears. And, hey, okay, and I have a Peep t-shirt. And then it turns out I had bought some Easter egg tights at some point. They were on sale. They're a bit too large, but that's fine. And I did swing by Walmart and got another headband that has Easter eggs on it. And, you know, just a whole kind of collection of things. Ned had actually made me some pastel blue boxers several years ago that have a white loofah attached to the back of them, like a little bunny tails. So I figured I'll wear those. You know, just whatever. But, you know, Good Friday is an amazing day. It really is. And they have interesting ways of celebrating the Easter holidays in the Philippines because they have what are called the flagellantes there. And men, I don't think I've ever seen a woman do it. Men lay down on the ground and they hit them with these paddles with razor blades and things in them or glass in them. And it, you know, cuts their backs up. And then they have these whips that whip around and beat their backs. And of course, after they do that for a while, the whips start picking up the blood and the blood is getting slung everywhere. And this is their form of penance. And, you know, I understand where their hearts are, but I am grateful of what Christ has done for us so that we don't have to do penance. And so there's a parade of these, the flagellantes, for flagellate. It comes from the same Latin term. And they walk down the street beating themselves. And then there is a man who carries a cross, and they do crucify him on the cross, or at least they used to when I was there. I don't know if that's still going on now. I obviously haven't been in the country for a lot of years, but knowing the Filipinos, I would suspect that it is still going on. They are a country rich in tradition. Not trying to make a joke, but obviously I can't really do that on Good Friday. And while Good Friday is certainly a time of suffering where we remember the suffering of our Lord, at the same time, I am looking forward to Easter, and it is my tradition on a Friday to celebrate holidays that are coming up. And so it's really Easter, and it's really the rejoicing of knowing that He is risen. And I can't really talk about that much either because I won't be able to talk. Easter. I love me some Easter. So anyways, you know, we'll have fun. we'll say Happy Easter to people. I actually do have an idea for next year. It'll take a little bit to get put together, but we'll see. Interesting thing about next year, next Good Friday, 2020, the hair is coming off again. Doesn't seem possible that it has been 3 years since my last haircut, but it has. So the hair is coming off again. And we're moving forward. And all is well. All is well at work. I'm almost through this side project that I was assigned to, getting some credit card handling stuff done with secure acceptance from that. I'll go back to the other major project that I'm working on. I'm looking forward to that, getting back on that, making some progress on that. So all is well there. Everything's puttering along. Everything seems to be going well. All is well with the family. All is well with the writing. I'm on book 11 now, as I've mentioned before, and I'm 2 weeks into it, and I'm 2.5 weeks into it, actually, and I'm on schedule. So that's good. And I thought I was actually going to lose some time tonight, but as it turns out, I'm not going to. We don't have a worship team meeting at church, so we're good. It's just a regular rehearsal, and I am not running sound for either the Good Friday service or for the Sunday service. So I'm free and clear through the weekend. And I'm just going to be writing. I do have one little job to do. That's the final little job to do for the Star Wars costume for May the 3rd coming up. It's actually May the 4th, but I celebrate on Friday. So I got one little thing I got to do for that. I have to dye some slippers and some ribbon, the appropriate color for the outfit. So that's fine. And I actually have some knee-high socks that I thought would be simple to find, because you can buy this particular type of knee-high stuff everywhere. And I went through 2 different vendors, and none of them fit well. And I was like, what? So I went back to a vendor that I had previously purchased some of these types of socks with and ordered them, but by then it was coming from China, so I'm hoping that they make it in, because the date that they gave me for being here was sometime between April 26th and May 6th, which of course May the 3rd is right in the middle of that. So we'll see. I can make it work without it. It's fine. But we'll see. We'll see. All is well. It'll be fine. Anyway, so that's good. All is well there. And I think that's it. So anyways, this week, lots of things to talk about. There's lots of interesting things that are going on in the world. I was just talking with a buddy this morning and was saying how interesting this next 18 months is going to be. Just how very, very interesting it's going to be with everything. It's just wow. So anyways, I came across this article, and it was based on a TED Talk that I think I have seen, and I hope I haven't commented on in the past. Now that I say that, I might have. So this may be a rerun, but this was a synopsis article based on the TED Talk. But I'm always interested, as you know, if you've listened to any significant number of these, I'm always interested in seeing how those inside and outside of any religious perspective name the force that is within us that lusts and whistles for disaster. You know, that force within us that is constantly pushing us towards things that are not profitable, towards things that would result in our destruction. I'm always fascinated to see how people image that, how people describe that, and how people come up with tactics to thwart that. Even someone like Sam Harris, and I have mentioned this before, who absolutely doesn't believe in free will, you would think that he would then have no opinion on how we, in ourselves, could do battle with what I call the flesh. In fact, he described that the practice of meditation, doing meditation, allows you to get some distance from acts of the flesh, he didn't call it that, so that then you can choose, in his terminology, choose. And he was specifically talking about anger, how that people get so angry and they stay angry for days. And he said, you know, he just feels like, wow, you know, do you really want to be angry for days? And the practice of meditation has helped him step back from that, i.e., get a better perspective on his flesh and what his flesh is trying to do to him, although he does not use those terms. And the fact that he has this perspective, then he can choose not to be angry, even though he doesn't believe in free will. So I came across this article, and the title of this article, which was based on a TED Talk of the same name, I think. Well, the title of the article was, "Here's a Question to Ponder," and I believe the TED Talk was called, "What If There's Nothing Wrong With You?" And there was a therapist named Susan Henkels, and she gave this TED Talk. She says, "Worked as a psychotherapist for more than 45 years. That means decades of smiling and nodding, decade of handing over tissues at the appropriate moment, and decades of hearing people tell her all the things about their lives that need to be fixed." She reports that one day she was listening to a patient take her through the whole list of what was wrong with her. "And I thought," she says, "I thought in the middle of this litany, what? There's actually nothing wrong with her." And she said, "From that moment, there is a surprising power to be found in prompting people to ask themselves, what if there's nothing wrong with me?" She said, "That doesn't mean that we're perfect." She said, "Most of us could, you know, stand to eat better, sit up straighter." She said, "But we can stop spending so much time dwelling on our personal shortcomings and imagining how our lives will be better once we finally vanquish them." Quote, she says, "We create this whole list of what we think is wrong and then create an entire life around it." She talks about the fact that she was talking to a gentleman about this, about the book she was writing, titled, "What If There's Nothing Wrong With You?" And he said, "Well, I can tell you right now, there's 8 things that are wrong with me." And she said, "Okay, so name one." He said, "Well, I have oppositional disorder." And I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "Well, I would always defy oppositional defiant order. I would always defy my parents and teacher." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with that?" "Well, I wouldn't comply with any of the rules at school, and I didn't do anything I was told at home." She said, "Okay, well, what's wrong with that?" He said, "Well, I was always in a bad temper. I argued with my parents all the time. I never had any friends, and I loved being alone." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with that?" Which the point she was getting to is there are some strengths that a person has who's willing to stand on their own 2 feet, question the status quo, etc., etc. She said, "The next day he came up to me and he said, 'I slept through the night for the first time in years. I wasn't having to make myself wrong and decide what I should be doing and shouldn't be doing,' he said. 'You know, I'm going to look at those other 7 things.'" So, you know, the question She said, this question of what if there's nothing wrong with you is about building the skill of acceptance. Acceptance is a core aspect of Buddhism, where it's called equanimity, and a quality that scientists are beginning to study. In one experiment, researchers at Carnegie Mellon University found that a mindfulness app that featured acceptance as part of its training reduced the impact of stress on its subjects. In a more recent experiment from the same research team, subjects who used the app showed increased feelings of sociability and decreased feelings of loneliness. I'm getting my mail. One moment. You have a God in here. Cox, Cox, and better. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, let me check below, see if I've got any packages. Hey, there we go. So, Henkel says, this question is about pressing pause on your inner critic and making a choice to let go of all the ways you've made yourself wrong. She said, now to be clear, what if there's nothing wrong with me is not a magic question. It will not create an all caps change your life, you know. She said, but maybe it'll clear away some of the busyness of your mind and life and create some kind of space of promise and possibility that is yours to plant and cultivate. Okay, I think that's good. That's good. What I found interesting is she said, asking yourself this question might quiet your inner critic. Inner critic. Wow, that term sounds familiar. Pressing pause on your inner critic, she says. Let's see, really, and again, that's my air pump that is working on the shocks, that groaning thing. But that inner critic, I've been thinking a lot about that lately, and it's so fascinating to me that it's so easy for us to ignore the fact that it's down there. It's really easy. I mean, it's easy just to kind of dismiss it and just to forget and just think that our criticisms and our anger and our envy and our jealousy and all those things, well, those are just me. But it's interesting that the Apostle Paul puts out this litany. These are the works of the flesh. And he just runs down this whole litany. And what's in there is not only action, but is emotions as well. Fits of rage and envy. And I think anger is in there. And maybe we should take that list with us, memorize that list. And when we feel one of those things, you know, we should say, wait a minute, that's a work of the flesh. Maybe I should just pause here a minute and say, in my terminology, what lie is the flesh trying to tell me at this moment that's making me feel this? Because if you can find that lie and get some light on it, it's amazing how fast it'll disappear and it's gone. It's a fascinating thing, this life. Fascinating. But on this Easter weekend, we celebrate that we are not alone in this life and that Christ suffered for us and paid all the legal requirements so that we could be with him, so that he could fellowship with us, that we could abide together. And in that abiding, if we will quiet the inner critic within us, if we will soften the noise of the flesh within us, there really is a wonderful, abundant life available. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.